The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Ireland is among the few European countries which have bucked trends and has continued to increase public funding for the non-profit and charity sector. While the primary work of NGOs is to assist and advocate for some of the most vulnerable members of Irish society, recently public perception of some NGOs is on the decline due to the rise of far-right rhetoric. For more on this, I'm joined on the line by Teresa Bushkovska from the Immigration Council of Ireland. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning.
Can you tell us about your perception of how public opinion has changed?
There was a huge shift in the last couple of years. I was working at the Immigrant Council of Ireland for 9 years, and 3 years ago I left the organization to pursue other career goals. So I returned last year in May, and I could not believe how difficult it was to work in this sector, especially around migrant rights. Within the migrant rights sector, it is much more difficult to organize support from public. We are experiencing a lot of online harassment and abuse as an organization, but also individually, my colleagues, myself. We, for the very first time in the 25 years of operation of our organization, for the very first time, we actually have to develop a very robust safety plan for our organization. And that is worrying.
Now, the practical difficulties that you and your staff may encounter, what sort of things happen to them?
Most of that is are threats and abuse online, and especially colleagues, including myself, colleagues who are of a migrant background, we're receiving an increased amount of online harassment and threats. So some of the safety measures we are taking under consideration is to remove pictures and names of our colleagues from our website so people cannot recognize them. And also whenever we are organizing a meeting or a conference, before we were always happy and open to public to join us to learn about the situation of migrants. Right now, we have to be much more careful. We have to have a registration process. We have to do evaluation of who registered, checking people's registration details and so on. So that is increasing our workload, but also increasing anxiety around doing our work and supporting the most vulnerable members of our community.
Now, is it the work that you do, or is it because many of the people who work for you are themselves migrants and therefore are the targets, not necessarily your work, but who you are?
I think both, because whenever we are organizing an event, it's always the staff and colleagues who are migrants receiving the abuse. The Irish colleagues, they don't receive the same amount of abuse. But in general, the topic right now, the migration topic, is so polarized with so many negative influences from the far right that public is exposed to them, and they keep repeating them back to us. So even I talk to my colleagues, not only in my organization, but other organizations, that even our friends and even family members that we know well and they know us well, sometimes they're repeating this far right narrative. So, for example, they would say to us, why are you working for this organization? Would not be better to support Irish people first? You know, this is very, very typical far-right narrative. They would never question our reasons or our motivation to work for Maganite organization before. And suddenly now, even though they exactly know why we're working in this sector, they start in questioning that. That's just one of the examples.
Now, many of the NGOs, and we do in truth have many thousands of NGOs working in the Irish sector, they are there because they are doing the work that the government wants to be done, but the government is not prepared to set up an organisation itself to do that work. So they depend on the NGOs to do that work for them.
Definitely. So, for example, one of the group that we are working with are victims of trafficking. So, especially women who are trafficked to Ireland to be exploited in the sex industry. The government doesn't have capacity to reach out to those women and provide them with expert legal advice and support. And that's what we're doing. Another very vulnerable group that we are working with are migrant women victimized by domestic violence. Again, here we know that domestic violence is a taboo in many communities. It's very difficult to reach out to victimized women. And we, as a migrant rights organization, we have much better capacity to reach out to those women and providing them with support. So these are essential services to people who are really, really in a difficult situation. And without our support, they would really be destituted.
Yeah, and the state trying to do that work would not be as nimble as you can be in terms of reaching out, and also as credible as you would be reaching out to people like that, because sometimes people who've been trafficked are terrified because of their past experiences of the heavy hand of the state.
That's exactly what it is, you know. Obviously, people who are being trafficked, they sometimes are being forced to commit criminal offenses under threats. And they are afraid of contact with authorities because they not necessarily know that they might be protected from responsibility if they committed a crime like theft or, you know, minor crime, because under duress of threat. So state authorities might not have the level of trust that we have. We are working with members of community. We employ migrants. Migrants know cultural sensitivity around those issues. They know how to approach women. They know how to identify people who are trafficked or who are victims of domestic violence. And it's much easier for us to reach out to those people.
Now, do you often hear the messages, and I'm seeing one on my screen now, saying that the NGOs are doing stuff that the general public doesn't want? You know, people saying we have too many migrants coming in from various parts of the world. We must look after our own people first. Those kind of messages, they come at you, and some of them maybe have a substance. You know, there's a reason. Yeah. Maybe in a particular town they are overwhelmed because they don't have resources. And in other cases, it's pure anti-migrant racism.
It is, but I want people to understand that we are working with, first of all, a lot of Irish people and a lot of Irish families who have family members who are migrants. We have mixed marriages. We have children, Irish children who were born in Ireland, who need support in being reunited with their parent, who might be a migrant. So there is a high level of our work involves working with Irish people. But at the same time, I also want to remind people that Ireland would not survive without the work that migrants provide. 1 in 4 nurses in Irish hospitals are migrant nurses.
Sure.
And a lot of them are trying to be reunited with their children. When they come to Ireland, they are not allowed to come with their children. And eventually, when they qualify for family unification, we are the organization who's supporting the application, they're supporting the process that can take up to 2 years. And so without our support, they would not be able to bring their children. And I don't think this is anything controversial about allowing somebody who works in our hospital to also live with their children under the one roof.
Well, Teresa, thank you very much for outlining all of this, because I think many people will have the wrong impression of the work that you do or the scope of the work that you do, and I hope that you can stay safe. Teresa Bushkowska, who is from the Immigrant Council of Ireland, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.